إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you when we continue in our class of Minhaj, reading from the book of our noble Shaykh Al-Allama Al-Doktor Salih Al-Fawzan حفظه الله تعالى وغفر له ولوالديه والمسلمين. And before that, I would to relay the salam of our noble Shaykh Al-Allama Ubayd ibn Abdullah Al-Jabiri حفظه الله. We spoke with him today and he gave the salam. Still reading from Al-Ajwib Al-Mufida and As'ilat Al-Manahij Jadida, the same book, Beneficial Answers to Questions on Innovative Methodologies. We start at the question number 32, in which one of the main figures of the Ikhwan al-Muslimun, this deviant group, Ikhwan al-Muslimun, Muhammad Qutb, the brother of Sayyid Qutb, who he explained, La ilaha illallah, that there is no deity that is worshipped except Allah, and there is no ruler besides Allah. And the Shaykh Al-Fawzan, he mentioned that this is a false meaning. And we learn, alhamdulillah, what is the true meaning of La ilaha illallah, that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. And of course, ruling by what Allah, by the ruling of Allah, it is a part of the meaning of La ilaha illallah. It's not all about, as Ikhwan Muslimin, that's all what they talk about. So it's a part of it, not all of it. And we're going to read to you some about the Ikhwan Muslimin, because the Shaykh, in his answer, he refuted the Ikhwan Muslimun and the Tablighis, for they do not adhere to the way of the Salaf. They don't adhere to the way of the Salaf, no? So, he mentioned that the Shaykh, he refuted Al-Jama'at Al-Ikhwan and Jama'at Al-Tabligh. This all is in 32, but we were reading the footnotes of 32 and we didn't finish. So before we go to question 33, we're going to read the footnotes because they are important. They have very important information that you should know about the Ikhwan Muslimun and their founder and the like. Since Al-Ikhwan al-Muslimun is a deviant group, one of the most dangerous group in our time. Most of the chaos we have is because of these guys, Ikhwan al-Muslimun. And they work with anybody. They can work with Jews, Christian, Rafida, liberals, doesn't matter. Anyone who they smell that, not even see, they just smell that he may help them or assist them to get to the power, they work with them, is not a problem. Wal-iyadu billah. Tayyib. In footnotes of our brother Sheikh Abu Farihan Jamal al-Harithi, he says, as for the da'wah, the call of al-Ikhwan al-Muslimun, we must ask, he says, did its founder, which is, who's the founder of Ikhwan? Hassan al-Banna. He said, did its founder or any of his followers up to this day write even one book on Tawheed? Listen to this question, they are very important. These are people, they say they call to Islam, and they do everything for Allah, for Islam. And they said they are right, and what they are upon is the right path. Listen to these questions. He said, did its founder or any of his followers up to this day write even one book on Tawheed in which they clarified the correct creed? Did Hassan al-Banna, which is the founder of Al-Ikhwan, did Hassan al-Banna call to the sincere worship of Allah and the elimination of shirk in all of its various forms? Another question. Did he put an end to the shrines and the grave sites that in his time were so many in Egypt, where he, that's his country of origin, that's where he grew up? Did he level, meaning flatten, the tombs and prevent the graves of the righteous people from being used as means of getting near to Allah, as people claim? Because in those countries, up to now, still in some Muslim countries, people go and worship graves, worship tombs and the like, and do lana ibadat for them. And did he establish the sunnah, this man, this founder of Al-Ikhwan, who they did da'wah, they says about Islam, for Islam, to spread Islam, to establish Islam? That's what they say. That's what they claim. The Shaykh, he says, all of these questions have no answer. But the answer lies. But the answer lies with the one who knows the creed of the Salaf and compares it to the call of the Ikhwanul Muslimin, which is embodied in its founder, Hassan al-Banna. This answer can also be found with the one who reads his books, the books of Hassan al-Banna. And this answer is that he had no clear and firm call when it came to fighting against shirk and innovations. Nothing on this man's record. And look now to show who this man, what he was upon. Was he upon the Aqidah of the Salaf? Or was he upon something else? Look, from his statements, from his books. Okay, these are books that mention statements of this man, this founder of Al-Ikhwan al-Muslimin. Hassan al-Banna said, I accompanied the brothers of the Husafi order. Who's the Husafi order? Sufis. Sufis, that's his people. He says, I accompanied the brothers of the Husafi, Sufi order, in Damanhur. Damanhur is an area in Egypt. Listen. And devoted myself to the Hadra. What is the Hadra? Hadra is a Sufi ritual, a gathering seeking the presence of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They gather there and chant and dance. The Sufis, this is the deen of Allah, they said this is Islam, they are upon the right. Seeking the presence of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This man, Hassan al-Banna, the founder of this Ikhwan Muslimin, who many people know, they said they are the only one upon the haqq and this and that. Look at the founder, where he was upon. The Hadra in Masjid at Tawbah. And he said every night. It's not like he just went to pray Isha and he find those people doing this and he went home. No, he said every night. He's devoted. Tayyib. This is taken from the book Mudakkirat al-Da'wa wal-Da'iya, page 24. Naam. He also said in the same book, page 24, Sayyid Abdul Wahab, the one who grants ijaza for the Husafi Sufi order. And this is not just a Sufi. He's the one who gave the ijazah, the main guy. For the Safi order,
attended.
He also said in the same book, alright, Sayyid Abdul Wahhab, the one who grants ijazah for the Husafi Sufi order, attended. He attended that hadra. And I, who I? Hassan al-Banna. And I learned the Husafi Shadli beliefs from him. That's what he learned. He learned the Husafi Shadli. Shadiliya is one of the Sufi orders and ways, tariqa, Sufiya. As Jama'a al-Tabligh, they follow four of them, not just one. Shadiliya and Jishtiya and Qadiriya and Naqshbandiya. All four, not just one is enough to be astray, waliyadu billah. So he said this Hassan al-Banna, he says he's the Shaheed, the founder of this, the savior of the deen and this. He's learning Sufiya. As you're going to see, he never learned from no alim of the Salaf, Tawheed and Aqeedah. He's learning from these big shots of the Sufis. Now, he said he granted me permission of its roles and duties. He also said in page 28 of the same book, the days of Damanhur. What's Damanhur? Is an area in Egypt. Meaning when he was in Damanhur, were days of complete captivation within the Sufi mentality. You see? Sufis, they into deep into the Sufism. So it was a period of time in which we were immersed in acts of worship and tasawwuf, like meaning the Sufi mysticism. He also said in page 30, these are his statements in Deer books. He said during the many Fridays, he says, Hassan al-Banna, said during the many Fridays that we spent in Damanhur, once again Damanhur is an area in Egypt, we would choose to go on a journey to visit the graves of one of the deceased righteous awliya from Damanhur. Sometimes we would go visit at the Suqi, that's one of the names, walking by foot right after morning prayer until we would reach the site by about 8 in the morning. They go right after Fajr on foot, okay, for the grave. So we would cover this distance, he said, which was almost 20 kilometers. Like 16 miles or so. So we would cover this distance of 20 kilometers in 3 hours. And we would visit the grave, pray Jumu'ah Friday prayer there, and then rest. And we would retrace our steps back to Damanhur. That's what they do on Friday. Go hang out in the grave. He also said in page number 30, this is the founder of this da'wah who they like. This is the da'wah. Nobody can say one thing about it. They're doing this for Islam, for the Muslims. This is the da'wah that is defended by so many people. Muhammad Hassan, Abu Ishaq al-Huwayni, and al-Halabi, and others, and Abu Hassan al-Ma'ribi, and many others. This is the da'wah of al-Ikhwan al-Muslimin. It is in America. Isna and Ikna, and all of those who with them, like of Yasir Qadi, and Nu'man Khan, and Siraj Wahaj, and Tamimi, and Zayd Shakir, what's his name, and all of them. And the list is long, Basyuni and all of that. These are the, and of course, not to forget about Salah al-Sawi, the great fitna guy Salah al-Sawi. These are their da'wah, and these are their founder, who they say he's a shaheed and he's a great man. This is what he used to do. He also said, mean Hassan al-Banna, in page 30, and sometimes we would visit Asbat al-Nawam. Al-Nawam, the place in whose cemetery is buried Sheikh Sayyid Sinjar. That's what they visit. From the elite members of the Husafi order. The Sufi order, who were known for their piety and righteousness. The Mubtadi'ah, but what righteousness, what piety. We would spend an entire day there, and then head back home. It's not even permissible for someone to walk a long day to spend that day by the grave of Sheikh Ibn Baz, Sheikh Al-Albani. Not a longer, a Sufi. You know. And he says also in page 52, Hassan al-Banna still saying, I remember that it was from our customs that we would go out during the celebratory processions of the Prophet's birthday. Easy? After the Hadra, every night from the 1st to the 12th day of Rabi' al-Awwal. And while we would be walking in the procession, we would chant the customary hymns with complete happiness and total joy. SubhanAllah. Chant with the Sufis with a complete joy. One of the hymns he would chant was, this is, look at what they used to chant. It's enough to celebrate the birthday, that's a bid'ah. But they used to chant this, they used to say, the beloved one, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, along with his loved ones has attended, he attended in person, they say, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not just that, that's a lie. But look what they say, and pardoned everyone of what they did and will do of sin. What is this?
Shirk.
Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgives sins? Who forgives sins? That's what they chant. That's what they chant. That not only did they say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he attended, and they say he forgives all the sins which they did and will do. Allah musta'an. In the book of collection of the treatise of Hassan al-Banna, page 392, all this Rasail, because he has Rasail, he didn't write this little Rasail treatise, and they gather them together, and in the page 392, in one of them it is called Instructions, under the heading, the 20 principles. It states under the 15th principle, if the supplication is linked with seeking a means to Allah through one of His creations, this matter is one of difference of opinion on a subsidiary issue related to the manner of performing supplication, and it does not fall under one of the issues of creed. These are people who they call to Islam and this, and unfortunately many layman Muslims follow them and rally behind them. The brother Abu Sheikh Abu Furaihani says, these quotes need no comments, as the man was a Sufi, Husafi, grave worshipper. He even gave the Prophet ﷺ Allah's attribute of forgiveness, not leaving any of that for him. May Allah be far removed from what they say. In another risala on creed from the same book mentioned above, now page 452, he said, Hasan al-Banna, research into the likes of this topic, i.e. the names and attributes of Allah. No matter how long the talk concerning it goes on, it does not lead to anything in the end, but one result. And that is tafwid. Tafwid. What is tafwid? Meaning to entrust the knowledge of the meaning of the attributes to Allah. He said this under the heading, the madhab of the Salaf and the Khalaf with regards to Allah's names and attributes. Ahlul Bidah, they falsely accuse Ahlul Sunnah that they are Mufawwidah. Tafwid that Ahlul Bidah they accuse Ahlul Sunnah with is like they say that Ahlul Sunnah, they say they don't know what the hand mean. They don't. But Ahlul Sunnah, they say, no, we know what the hands mean. But yufawwiduna sifa. But they don't know the true nature of the hand. You see? That's tafwid now. That's tafwid that is jaiz. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, if you ask them about the hand, they know, yes, we know the hand through the meanings of the Arabic language, the hand. But if somebody will ask a alim of Ahlul Sunnah, describe the hand of Allah, he will say, Taqillah. Nobody can describe that because Allah did not tell us about that. Nufawwidu dhalika lillah. That's tafwid. The knowledge of that is only with Allah. As for the meaning of the hand, we know what the hand is. Aynam. But him, he is on another level. He says, no, the meaning of the attributes, he said, Ahlul Sunnah, they have just his aqidah tafwid. Maybe this is a little bit complicated, but we dealt with it in the aqidah. So you need to review it a little bit. But just remember that Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they are not mufawwid like Ahlul Bidah, accuse them of. But rather, they have tafwid of the sifa, of the true nature of the attributes. Because nobody knows that. Now, they say, only Allah knows how His attributes are. Nobody knows. But they don't say, only Allah knows the meaning of the hand, for example. Because they know what the hand is. Now, is that understood? I tried my best. Then the brother, he said, our Sheikh Abu Fureyhan, said, I found some valuable and historical words of Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah have mercy on him, Amen. In which he clarified the state of the Mufawwida here. You see, alhamdulillah. I.e., those who delegate knowledge of the meanings of the attributes back to Allah and asserts that they are the worst from the innovators. So he said they are from the worst of the innovators. In his book, Dar al-Ta'arud, or Ta'arud al-Aql wal-Naql, Dar al-Ta'arud al-Aql wal-Naql, volume 1, page 201 to 205, he said, as for tafwid, this term in Arabic, tafwid, then it is well known that Allah has commanded us to reflect on the meanings of the Qur'an. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraged us to comprehend and understand it. So based on this, how can it be possible for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to intend for us that we turn away from understanding, knowing and comprehending it? This is up to the point where He said, So it becomes clear that the views of the people of Tafwid, who claim to be following the Sunnah and way of the Salaf, are from the worst views of the people of innovation and heresy.
Heresy,
yeah? Aina.
Zanadiqa.
Huh? Zanadiqa.
Aye.
Zandaqa. Zandaqa. Zanadiqa, heretics. Ah. This is heresy.
Ah.
Heresy.
Heresy.
So keep in mind that Ahlul Sunnah, they know the meaning of the attributes. They know what it means, the hand, the face, okay? But they leave the knowledge of how is the nature of those attributes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But those who they say, no, even the meaning and everything, only Allah knows and would make tafwid, he said that's the worst of the innovators. After all this, can anyone who has the smallest grain of knowledge and understanding say that there is a resemblance or even the slightest resemblance between the call of the Imam and reviver Muhammad Abdul Wahhab and the call of their revivers of innovation? What a great difference there is between the two. Sheikh Abdul Aziz Ibn Abdullah Ibn Baz rahimahullah was asked about the Ikhwan al-Muslimin in the magazine Al-Majalla. What follows is the text of the question and answer. Noble Sheikh, the movement of the Ikhwan al-Muslimin entered into the kingdom in Saudi Arabia a while ago and has become very active among the students of knowledge. What is your view on this movement? And what is the extent of their conformity with the methodology of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Sheikh Ibn Baz rahimahu ta'ala replied, the distinguished scholars have criticized the Ikhwan al-Muslimin movement. See, they were criticized by the ulama. Because they are not active in calling to the oneness, tawheed of Allah, or in forbidding shirk and rejecting innovations. They have specific methods that they are deficient in, such as a lack of enthusiasm for calling to Allah and a lack of directing their followers to the correct creed, which Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are upon. The Ikhwan al-Muslimin must devote special attention to calling people to the way of the Salaf, which includes calling to the oneness of Allah, to Tawheed, to the rejection of grave worship, devotion to the deceased, and asking help from the dead in the graves, such as Hassan, Hussein, Al-Badawi, and so on. They must focus on this fundamental principle, which is represented in La ilaha illallah, the foundation of the religion. The first thing that the Prophet ﷺ called to in Mecca was the oneness of Allah, Tawheed, the meaning of La ilaha illallah. The Shaykh continued by saying, many scholars criticize the Ikhwan al-Muslimin for this, for their lack of being active in calling to Tawheed and to doing acts of worship sincerely for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, whilst rejecting the innovations of the ignorant, such as being devoted to deceased individuals, asking for their help, making oaths to them, and presenting sacrificial offerings to them, while are all acts of major shirk. These are all, which are all acts of major shirk, but the Ikhwan Muslimin don't warn against these things. They also criticize them, the ulama, they criticize the Ikhwan al-Muslimun for their lack of concern for the Sunnah, following the Sunnah and interest of the noble hadith and the religious rulings the Salaf of this Ummah adhere to. There are many other things that I have heard the Ikhwan being criticized for. We ask Allah to guide them to the truth. Ameen. That was question 33, right? Huh? Question 33 says, was the call of Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab a call to an Islamic party like the Ikhwan al-Muslimin and the Tablighi group? What is your advice to the one who says such a thing and spreads it in books? But we didn't finish the footnote. Sir Hussein was right. It's good to have notes. طيب على أين it's not gonna hurt if we do number 33 again, okay? Number 33, we read the question. The answer was, Sheikh Fawzan says, I say that the call of Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab was based on the methodology of the Salaf in both fundamental and subsidiary issues. The purpose of it was not to be biased and partial towards one group or party apart from what Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah were upon, past and present. As for the groups, Ikhwan al-Muslimin and the Tablighis and all other groups, then we invite all of them to refer their methodologies back to the Book of Allah, the Sunnah of His Messenger and the guidance and understanding of the pious predecessors, and to compare that with them. So whatever conforms to that, then all praise is due to Allah, and whatever opposes that, then the error should be corrected. This is what we call it. So he says we did that, huh? Alhamdulillah. I don't remember. Yeah, me neither. Because me, I marked right here. I don't know how you guys got that. Maybe you did some homework. Because me, look, I wrote over here because I marked the end of the classes, and there was 10, right? The 10th. Allah. Yeah, last week, last Wednesday was the 10th, right? Allahu a'lam. Maybe we'll read it on a parking lot or something. Just the two of you. Because you're the only two, mashallah. Anybody else?
Because we took two questions last time.
It's on your notes, Hussein? It's on your notes? Mm-hmm. So you're not on this. Only those who have notes. Why you gotta be with? Only two guys. Anyway, alhamdulillah, that's good. Question number 34. Tayyib. He says, there is a person that makes a distinction between the victorious group and the saved sect. Okay? Is such a distinction correct? If this is true, who is the saved sect and who is the victorious group? الفرقة الناجية والطائفة المنصورة. Somebody says that, and you want to know from the answer who's somebody. Is he upon the haq or not? They says no. الطائفة المنصورة is one thing, it means one thing, and الفرقة الناجية means something else. The Sheikh's answer, Sheikh Salih Fawzan, he says, the people want to divide everything. SubhanAllah. He says the people want to divide everything. They want to divide the Muslims to the point that there is even division in their attributes. He said, this statement is not correct. So this statement is not correct because the victorious group is in fact the saved sect. And he says, all praise be to Allah. It cannot be victorious unless it is saved. It cannot be victorious unless it is saved, Sheikh Fawzan said. And it cannot be saved unless it is victorious. So these are two required characteristics for one and the same thing. He said, the person who made this distinction is either ignorant or biased and wants to put doubts into the Muslim youth about the victorious and saved group. Alright, let us read some footnotes. The brother Abu Farihan, Sheikh Abu Farihan Jamal al-Harith, he brings statements of the ulama to make this clear. He says that when Sheikh Fawzan says that the victorious group is the saved sect, he said this is, in a footnote, said this is the view of the Imams of Hadith. So the saved sect is in fact the victorious group. And they are the people of Hadith, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the unified body of the Muslims, and the Salafis, and has been stated by a large number of scholars, past and present. Here are some of their statements in this regard. After reporting the Hadith about the splitting up of the Ummah into 73 sects, Imam Ahmed, may Allah have mercy upon him, said, if they are not the people of Hadith, I don't know who they are. In the introduction to his book, Tuhfatul Ahwadi, Al-Mubarak Fouri quotes the statement of Abu al-Yaman ibn Asakir, in which he, may Allah have mercy on him, said, let the people of Hadith take joy in this glad tidings, for they, if Allah wills, are the saved sect. And after mentioning the Hadith, there will not cease to be a group from my Sunnah, my Ummah. At-Tirmidhi said, I heard Al-Bukhari say, I heard Ibn al-Madini say that they are the people of Hadith. After mentioning the Hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu, regarding Allah's statement, and like that we made you a moderate nation, Al-Bukhari said in his book, Khalq Af'al al-Ibad, page 61, they are the group that has been mentioned in the Hadith. There will not cease to be a group from my Ummah victorious upon the Haqq. To the end of the Hadith. Furthermore, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, did not make any distinction between the victorious group and the saved sect. Rather, in the beginning of his book, Al-Aqid al-Wasitiyyah, he said, to proceed, this is the creed of the saved sect that is victorious unto the day of judgment. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The same occurred in Majmu' al-Fatawa, volume 3, page 129. And after mentioning the hadith about the ummah splitting up, he said, they are Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and they are victorious, the victorious group. From Majmu' al-Fatawa. Volume 3, page 159. He also, meaning Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, said, my view is the creed of the saved sect, and that is the sect that the Prophet ﷺ described as being saved. It is the creed that has been reported from the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. May Allah be pleased with them. They, along with those who follow them, make up the saved sect. Also, he said, by this, it should become clear to you that the people with the most right to be from the saved sect are the people of Hadith and Sunnah. Also, in the footnote, he says, one of the false subscribers to knowledge strove hard, wasting his time and disrupting the thoughts of the youth by writing a book in which he desired to prove that there is a difference between the victorious group and the saved sect. But he was not able to, nor will he ever be able to. And he made things worse by fabricating a lie against Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, ascribing a statement to him that he believed in such a distinction without mentioning any references for it. He did this in his book called The First Strangers. Sheikh Jamal Abu Furayhan al-Harithi, Hafidhahu Allah, continued with saying, a refutation of this lie can be found in the above statement of Ibn Taymiyyah. Because this man, when he said there is distinction, because Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, it's a lie, is a lie. That is, can be found in the above statements of Ibn Taymiyyah, you have just seen, which we quoted from his books. This author went even so far as to ascribe this view to the great scholar Abdul Aziz bin Baz, as occurred when he was once asked about differentiating between the saved sect and the victorious group during a lecture of his, to which he replied, Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, all praise be to Allah, agrees with me on this. And he promised he would write some notes on this. This is from a tape lecture of his. All praise be to Allah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has exposed this person. Saint Sheikh bin Baz, still alive. Well, that was when this was written, and this when this man said what he says, Sheikh bin Baz was still alive. But actually Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahu ta'ala, he died some 15 years ago. He said, we ask Allah to prolong his life and cause us and him to have a good end. But Shaykh has died, rahimahullah. Shaykh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, was asked, can we make a distinction between the victorious group and the saved sect? Okay. He said, Rahimahullah, Shaykh al-Baz, the victorious group is the Sayyid sect. See, this man rely on Shaykh al-Baz. But here Shaykh al-Baz was asked a question. He says, the victorious group is the Sayyid sect. They are both one. They are Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and they are the Salafis. And the question that they ask, there is a person that says that you agree with him in making this distinction. Is this is correct? So the Shaykh replied, no, no, this is a lie. Or he says an error from a recorded lecture. And of course, these people, they want to bring this distinction to put some people of innovations in one of the groups. We ask Allah to protect us, Ameen, from falling into these errors. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the evil of this deviant sect, the group, which is Al-Ikhwan, Al-Muslimun. And we ask Allah to protect the Muslims and to open the hearts of the Muslims to know the evil of Al-Ikhwan, Al-Muslimun, and what they spread. Because they lie. They're not afraid to lie to get to what they want. We ask Allah to protect us from the evil and to guide them to the truth. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa taslimin kathira.